And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Portrait of a Man, was written by Joseph Mendel. It is one of a series of programs dramatizing outstanding moments in American Jewish history.
In those years, there were many who came to the house of Rebecca Gratz, to my house. Many who were my friends. Thomas Sully, who painted my portrait. Henry Clay, who should have been president. Washington Irving, the writer, whom you know. But it is my intention to tell you of one whom you may not know. And if I name all these others, it is only to raise the curtain and set the scene, so that the story may begin. His name was Isaac Lisa. He was a young man when he arrived in Philadelphia in the year 1829, and he, too, was often in my house. How shall I describe the kind of man he was? I remember he once read a passage from the book of Deuteronomy.
What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart melt as his heart.
Isaac Lisa was not a faint-hearted man. His convictions were profound, and what he believed, he said, even when he first arrived.
Is my collar wrinkled, Mr. Hart?
Collar? No, not at all, Mr. Lisa.
In that case, I will sit quietly until you've finished your inspection.
You must think me very rude to stare at you.
I understand perfectly, Mr. Hart.
Do you?
You are deciding that I am very young.
Well, I... That is, you are young to be the cantor and minister of our congregation,
but... I assure you, sir. It is a defect that will be remedied in time.
No, he was not a faint-hearted man, and neither was he tactful, and therefore he might have found occasion to quote another passage.
I am all peace, but when I speak, they are for controversy.
It may not have been exactly as it seemed to Isaac Lisa, but there were more differences of opinion after he came to us at Congregation Mikveh Israel.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hart. Tomorrow morning would not be a good time.
Then another day. The trustees have asked me, as president of the congregation, to arrange a meeting at your convenience.
Well, any afternoon toward the end of next week will be agreeable.
Not sooner, Mr. Lisa? Well, if you say so. In the meantime, I'll notify the parents of the postponement.
Oh, it's not necessary, Mr. Hart. Let the parents send their children tomorrow morning as planned.
But, Mr. Lisa, the trustees want to discuss the matter with you.
Mr. Hart, many weeks ago I raised the question of a Hebrew school for the children of the congregation.
Well, it's a long-standing need. And if it were up to me, I wouldn't say a word, but the trustees...
The trustees have discussed the matter at every meeting since I came. Now, with all due respect, I don't see that there's anything left to say.
Well, there are, for example... The practical details. A suitable place, the matter of expenses.
Well, I've already engaged a suitable room at my boarding house and paid 3 months' rent in advance, for which I do not now ask reimbursement.
I see. Still, Samuel Levy, Hyman Gratz, and some of the other trustees wish to discuss the underlying principles of the enterprise.
Again, Mr. Hart?
Believe me, Mr. Leeser, it would be wise to meet again with the trustees.
Well, if you think so. For the sake of wisdom, we'll meet again.
Good. I'll tell them. Tomorrow morning, then?
Oh, no.
But you said
Mr.
that...
Mr. Hart, the discussion can wait, but the education of the children cannot. Tomorrow morning, we will have the first class. This is Olive, children. I'll write it again on the slate. See? Olive. And this is Beth. And this is Gimel. Now, look in your books and find me Olive, Beth, Gimel. Bereshis. In the beginning, Boro Elohim, God created. Benjamin, the words are not written on the clouds out there. Keep your eyes on the book. Now listen, children. Tomorrow at the Sabbath services, be sure to read clearly and loudly from the prayer book so your fathers can hear. I'm sure they'll be pleased.
Naturally, we're pleased, Mr. Leeser, as parents and as trustees.
Well, I'm happy to hear it, Mr. Levy.
But your procedure... Now, I'm a forthright man, Mr. Leeser, and I must speak plainly. Your procedure has been, to say the least, somewhat irregular, the trustees feel.
Samuel Levy doesn't speak for all the trustees, Mr. Leeser. I, for one, have no complaints.
Since when, Hyman? You've been asking for this meeting as loudly as the rest of us.
Since I've seen the results of Mr. Leeser's teaching. As my sister Rebecca said...
Now, please, let's keep her out of this, if you don't mind. Hyman Gratz is the trustee, not Rebecca.
All the same, it's time we had a school for our children, regardless of how we got it.
Hyman, we're not here to argue among ourselves. The purpose of the meeting...
Who can argue against teaching children? When I told my sister Rebecca...
Please be good enough to let me finish.
Of course, Samuel, of course.
Thank you. Now then, as I was saying
that you are not pleased after all, Mr. Levy, is your controversy with the curriculum, with the methods of instruction?
No, Mr. Leeser. Conducting the school is your responsibility.
Oh, yes.
After it has been established, the trustees are charged with authority in all congregational matters. And the trustees have not been asked, nor have they voted their approval.
Mr. Levy... There's the approval of a higher authority written down long ago. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children.
Mr. Leeser, I'm 25 years older than you, and therefore...
In Germany, where I studied Talmud, Miss Gratz, and in Richmond, where I worked in my uncle's shop, I learned two things. Not to count a man's income, nor a lady's years.
Not publicly, at any rate. But I'm the one who's counting, and therefore I will say what's on my mind. You should be pleased. But you're not, are you?
Well, I would be happier if the trustees were pleased.
Then I must tell you that you are being unreasonable.
I?
You can't expect their approval for jarring them out of their accustomed ways. And now you're breaking a second tradition, that of delivering sermons in German. Your sermons are in English.
Well, naturally, Miss Gratz. English is the only language that everyone in the congregation understands.
You may as well know, Mr. Leeser, there is talk that you are a reckless innovator against established tradition. You nod your head. You agree.
Oh, not that I'm reckless. Only that I'm willing to discard some traditions, the worn-out ones. But never the tradition of teaching and learning.
You don't have to convince me. But the congregation has voted its disapproval of sermons in English.
The entire congregation, not just the trustees?
Yes.
Well, education is sometimes a painful process.
I'm glad you accept your situation so reasonably, Mr. Leeser.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of myself, Miss Gratz.
No?
No. Of the congregation. Whether they approve or not, they will have to hear my sermons in English.
You mustn't think he was a stubborn man. It was only that he found it difficult to compromise when he thought he was right. And so the congregation listened unofficially to English sermons until 14 years later it voted official approval.
Naturally.
By this time, Isaac Lisa was approaching middle age. By this time, too, there were Hebrew Sunday schools and all-day schools, not only in Philadelphia, but in many cities of the growing country. And consequently, there were new problems.
If you have schools for children, you must also have books from which they can learn. Have I said something startling, Mr. Gratz?
Oh, not yet, Mr. Leeser. We're waiting for the rest of it, Abraham Hart and I.
You're being cautious with a reckless innovator.
Not at all. After all these years, we've come to expect that when you raise a problem, you also propose a solution.
Well, I'm relieved, Mr. Hart. Will you be good enough to read these manuscripts?
A Hebrew spelling book. Primer for younger children, designed as a familiar exposition of the Jewish religion. The Hebrew Reader. You believe these to be suitable for use in our schools?
I wrote them, Mr. Hart.
Good. Then I'll print them.
I'm still waiting, Mr. Lisa. I know why Abraham Hart is here. He's a publisher, but why did you want me?
Well, Mr. Gratz, there's a Hebrew type to be bought. There's the cost of paper and binding. And the selling price of the books must be more than moderate.
If you don't mind my saying so, Mr. Lisa, that's my concern.
No, Abraham, he's right. There's no reason why you should carry the loss alone.
But, Hyman,
it's no use arguing. We'll share the deficit together.
You're both generous.
After all, Mr. Leeser...
But both mistaken.
Oh?
Education is the responsibility of the community. And the entire Jewish community should bear the cost. Mr. Gratz, is it reckless to suggest the organization of a non-profit Jewish publishing company?
We've worked out, Abraham and I, how much money must be subscribed to start the enterprise.
Mr. Hart is setting the type on his own press in the meantime.
Oh, that's good, Mr. Leeser. I've received only a few contributions so far, and many excuses. The effect of President Van Buren's policies on business conditions, the coming war with Mexico. Never mind. We'll have our company.
I already have the proofs of the first three chapters of the primer. I'm planning to add something.
Yes, well, that's between you and...
A dedication to Miss Rebecca Gratz.
Oh, she'll be very pleased, Mr. Leeser.
Well, your sister is a remarkable person, Mr. Gratz.
She says the same about you. I'm prepared to believe you both.
Money is all subscribed, Hyman tells me. It's to be called the Jewish Publication Society. What do you think, Mr. Leeser?
Well, it seems an appropriate name, Mr. Hart.
It would also be appropriate, that is, if you had... Well, no, of course not.
Oh, if I had what?
The manuscript of a new book, ready to be published.
Well, it happens that I have. I've been working on it for years.
A really important book?
Important? Yes. It's a new English translation of the most important book in the world.
Isaac Lisa's translation of the Bible was widely used for three quarters of a century in the English-speaking world. In addition, he wrote or edited 150 books for the first Jewish Publication Society. Every day, with every word spoken or written, he was a teacher, with a teacher's awareness of each brief, precious minute, as if to him alone were addressed the words of the sage of the Talmud.
The day is short, and the work is great, and the laborers are sluggish,
and the reward is much. And the master is urgent.
And now, Isaac Leeser, cantor and minister of Congregation Mikveh Israel in Philadelphia, advisor and teacher to the congregations he visited throughout the country, writer and editor in the minutes and hours he squeezed out of each day. Now he embarked on a new undertaking.
A monthly Jewish newspaper, Rebecca. The first in America written completely in English. I'm calling it the Occident and American Jewish Advocate.
Isaac, I...
America is so big and Jewish community so scattered that a newspaper is the only way to speak to all of them and be heard. Isn't it, Rebecca?
It's one way, but...
I'm going to call for more and better schools for religious and general education. And also for harmony and unity of action of all Jews in America, no matter what... You're not listening, Rebecca.
Tell me, Isaac, with all this, are you a happy man?
You know, you have a most disconcerting way of asking direct questions.
Are you going to answer?
I'm a busy man. Is that an answer?
No. But it means you will not tell me what I want.
Rebecca, when I look at the world and see the love of ease, the selfish interest and ambition, the avarice and unbelief that seems to fill it, I have no room for the kind of thing you want me to tell you.
And so you're starting a newspaper.
The columns will be open to discussion of Jewish topics, no matter what the point of view, without censorship.
It's a most liberal policy.
Oh, yes. But I reserve the right, of course, to... comment on any point raised. I return in these columns to an oft-repeated plea. For the Jewish communities of America, there is an urgent necessity, union for the sake of Judaism. Elsewhere on this page is noted the proposal of Rabbi Isaac Meir Wise for Minhag America to replace the Sephardic and Ashkenazic modes of synagogue service. For the sake of unifying the Jewish community, we should not be afraid of changes in synagogue procedure, provided they do not violate the fundamental traditions of Judaism. These days we are belabored by men who have somehow slipped into the teacher's chair. Rabbi Wise and the Reformers. More than ever, it is the duty of an editor, in fact of all controversialists in religious discussion, not to lose sight of the sublime nature of the subject. Certain though we are that our opponent is wrong.
You talk of union, Mr. Leeser, but it becomes clearer every day what you really mean.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a specific complaint?
Isn't the letter I wrote for publication in the Occident specific enough? A letter which you did not do me the courtesy of acknowledging?
I have it here.
What do you intend to do about it?
Well, sir, the letter's long and full of Hebrew quotations.
You're making excuses in advance.
It consists largely of factual misstatements, errors in reasoning, and abusive language.
That's all unite. Provided your own narrow viewpoint prevails, that's what you're saying.
Oh, I'll tell you what I'm saying, sir. Unity of the Jews of America is urgent. But unity is not an end in itself. In the past, much has been sacrificed in its name, and there are principles, traditions that I am not prepared to sacrifice. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly, Mr. Leeser. You have no intention of publishing my letter.
Oh, I didn't say that. I'll print it just as you wrote it.
You will?
Except that I will be forced to correct the mistakes in the Hebrew of your quotations.
Do you have to print everything, Isaac?
You mean the letter? Rebecca, have you read the papers of Thomas Jefferson?
Some, but I...
My uncle gave me a set when I was still in Richmond. Oh, how many years ago? 26? 4 volumes... I've read them all, and more than once. He said, where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe.
Who am I to disagree with Jefferson? But I'm not talking about the letter. This issue of the Occident.
Well, I thought it was a particularly good one, Rebecca.
You put it in the most prominent place on the editorial page. Listen, in some places, the affairs of the congregation have been put in the hands of men who, however expert in business or acquainted with the ways of the world, have not the requisite religious information nor a character necessary...
I know what it says, Rebecca. I wrote it.
Well, don't you know how it sounds?
Well, it's true. Seen it for myself in congregations from Lake Erie to the Gulf of Mexico.
But people will think you mean Philadelphia. They'll think you're talking about Mikveh Israel.
I'm talking about every congregation where it applies.
Isaac, do you have to speak every thought that is in your mind?
If it's true and necessary, then I have to say it.
Safe and prudent silence was not for Isaac Lisa. In 1850, after 21 years, he left Congregation Mikveh Israel. I ask you to note the fact without judgment, for the fact is dry and deceptive. It does not reveal that where you would expect to find his enemies, he found none, so that Rabbi Isaac Meir Wise could write to him in the midst of controversy.
I regard you as my best friend in this world of flattery and falsehood, since you never hesitate to tell me truly what you think.
And other friends, some years later, organized a new congregation in Philadelphia so that he might have a pulpit to continue urging the unity which eventually came about.
I call to order the opening session of the Board of Delegates of American Israelites.
He was elected vice president, and I thought that now he might rest a little. But there was Maimonides College, newly established, of which he was provost and professor of homiletics, belles lettres, and comparative theology.
On this first day of classes, gentlemen, we find ourselves in the unusual situation of having a faculty of six and a student body of four. We are not to be deterred by the fact. I'm not afraid of the facts, Rebecca. Maimonides College will collapse as...
I don't like to hear you talk like that, Isaac.
As the American Jewish Publication Society collapsed, unless the community provides greater support.
You're tired. That's why you're so discouraged.
Why do I seem discouraged? Well, I have plans for a new seminary. And I'm providing for another publication society in my will.
Your will? Do you have to face every fact?
Well, I am getting along in years.
Then what shall I say?
I'll say it for you, Rebecca. You're not a day older than when I first arrived in Philadelphia.
I'll face my own facts, if you don't mind. Isaac, you once refused to answer a question. I won't ask it again. Only, I have brothers and sisters and their children.
I have no one. It's true.
You should have married. There, I've said it. I should have said it long ago.
You, who scrutinize me so carefully, Rebecca, you haven't looked very closely after all.
I have, Isaac. I have.
Then you're too kind to describe what you see. I've always been ugly and awkward and out of proportion. A face marred by smallpox.
Maybe if you had left the mirror hanging on the wall where it belongs.
Instead of carrying it with me everywhere, maybe. But I've been sensible. I reconciled myself a long time ago.
To what, Isaac? To a solitary, lonely life.
Ah, well, Rebecca, there are always the lonely ones. Maybe the world also needs people like me.
I will tell you the kind of man he was. In Louisiana, in the gold fields of California, on the Canadian border and the Atlantic coast, in every corner of America, there were people who needed Isaac Lisa. The world always needs a great teacher.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. George Maislin, Vice President of the United Synagogue in New York City and member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Maislin.
The course of human affairs, political, economic, social, or spiritual, is very often influenced by the acts of one man. Judaism regards every single act of every man as having the potential of either saving or destroying the entire world. We are therefore called upon to regard the world as though it were hanging in a balance, and as though it were literally dependent upon the individual's next act for its survival. It is conceivable, says the Talmud, that one single good deed may tip the scales for a better world, and a single evil deed may lead to chaos and destruction. Political and religious history records many instances of how one man has influenced its course, some for good and some for evil. Mahatma Gandhi, for example, was for good. Lenin for evil. Maimonides for good, Hitler for evil. Isaac Lisa's dynamic and beneficent influence on the American Jewish scene in those early critical and formative years tipped the scales in favor of Jewish survival in America. He also set the pattern for a Jewish educational program and the ultimate emergence of conservative Judaism. Just as Jewish survival is unthinkable without Jewish religious education, the survival of the world is seriously doubtful without the great moral force of religion. It is not unreasonable to hope for the day when men and women of all religious beliefs will have a better understanding and knowledge of their respective faiths, and thus be the better equipped, as Isaac Lisa envisioned, to serve God and man effectively. Newell Dwight Hillis once said, "And so long as life is full of strife and conflict, so long as troubles roll over the earth like sheeted storms, so long as dark minds need light and inspiration, will religion remain the guide, the hope, the friend, and support of the people."
Thank you, Mr. Maislin. Our eternal light drama today, Portrait of a Man, was written by Joseph Mendel. It was one of a series of programs dramatizing outstanding moments in American Jewish history. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Ethel Everett as Rebecca Gratz and Bill Lipton as Isaac Leeser. Others in the cast were Guy Sorrell, Ivor Francis, Maurice Tarplin, and Norman Rose. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.